It's time for the Hour of Power, where numerous churches and ministries in Western Oklahoma come together to produce a program found on the internet at therockchristianmusic.com. If you have a specific prayer request, or you would like to share about an answer to prayer in your life, text the word PRAY to 68683, then share your request. This is your connection to other Christ followers and prayer warriors. Welcome to the Hour of Power.
Good morning. It is time for the Hour of Power, the most powerful hour of the day. I'm Neva Pyatt, your host this morning. Miss Monica's over there running the iPad. And powerhouse Tammy Bailey from the Refuge Church that is like northwest of Sayre.
Hey!
Yeah. Oh, it's good to have you here. We always look forward to you being here.
Yeah, I love being here.
Good, good. If you have a praise report, a prayer request, you can post it right on our Facebook page, or you can send it to our email, hourofpower@cableone.net. About halfway through the program, we'll stop and we'll pray for those needs. We do record in two parts, and after the program's over, it'll be put over on our website, therockchristianmusic.com. So if you have a friend that doesn't have Facebook, but they have internet, you can send them there to hear this message. And then just go to therockchristianmusic.com and then click on the Hour of Power and then click on Monday to hear Tammy's message. Our Facebook sponsor today is Grant's Auction and Realty, and we just appreciate our sponsors so much. Tammy, Grant's Auction and Realty have been with us since the beginning.
Wow.
In fact, Cindy's the one that made these prayer request forms for us.
Aww.
And she used to come in once or twice a week to the radio station and answer the phone for us, because back then we had a phone line people could call in on. And so we had different volunteers every day that came in and took prayer requests, and many times just prayed with the people when they called in right then.
That's so neat.
But, yeah, things are different now. Yeah. But anyway, okay, having said all that, did I cover everything, Monica? All right. Will you pray to start us out?
Yes, I would. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful today, God, to just come together, God, to really just open your word, to feast on your word today. Thank you for the food, the nourishment to our spirits, God. We thank you, Lord, that through your word, God, we are being transformed. God, you are renewing our minds. God, you are delivering us from strongholds and lies that we believe for a long time. And God, you are setting your children free to grow up and become sons and daughters of the living God, not just children, not just babes, not just servants, but sons and daughters of the living God. And Father, we are so thankful to belong to your family. You said we are of your household. And so, God, we are so thankful to be your children. And God, today, as we get into your word, I ask you to begin to open our eyes, our ears, our mind to receive today everything that you want to give us. God, thank you that every word going in today, God, is going to produce, bear, and bring forth fruit hundredfold for your kingdom. Lord, I pray that you'll set me to the side, and Father, that you'll speak through me, that you'll do your works, God. You're the one who said you confirm the word with signs and wonders following. So we come with great expectation that, God, this word is not just going forth. It's not just enticing words of wisdom from man, but God, you're going to come in the demonstration of the Spirit and power and do your work today. God, we thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Well, we're ready for you to tell us about sonship.
Oh, man, I've been so excited about it. Saints, I want to tell you we're in a new season. We're in the year of 2022. And as we came into the year of 2022, I was just seeking the Lord before that and saying, God, what do you want to say about the year 2022? And so I was just seeking his face. And at some point, he just began to speak to me about sonship. And he began to talk about being sons of the Most High God. And so he told me this is the year of sonship. So anyway, I'm a big numbers person, and I believe God is the creator of numbers, and he speaks even through numbers. Numbers belong to him. And though I want to encourage everybody to be very careful not to get mixed up in numerology, because that's the copy, that's the counterfeit. Satan comes in and uses uses that to use it as, it's a witchcraft thing. And so don't get wrapped up in numerology, but numbers belong to the Most High God, and he is the one who created them. And even numbers have a purpose. And so 22 has a purpose. God does everything with purpose. Not one thing doesn't have a purpose. What is it they say? You'll probably remember, I think in the Jewish community or the Jewish circle, there is no word for, there's one word that's lacking. They never even use it. It's basically, there's a word that they don't even use because they basically say everything has purpose. There are no accidents. Everything has purpose. And so even our numbers. And so when I went to look up the number 22, there's a good website called God's Kingdom. And when you pull that up, it'll begin to, it's a page that'll show you what each number represents. And I would encourage you, when you look this stuff up, make sure that that scriptures are backing it up, because when there's scriptures to prove it, then you can be confident of it. So, the number 22, when I looked it up, means sonship. So I said, God, you're so cool. Okay. So he is bringing his children. He's causing us to grow up to become sons. Okay. Sons of God. And so the Lord wants to talk a little bit about that today. See, sonship is really about the father and the sons. Okay. It's about being raised up as sons, not just servants, right? Remember in the Old Testament, God was they always talked about God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And they would always refer to him as God. But in the New Covenant, the God becomes father to sons. Do you get this? He becomes father. He's a father to his children. See, we really do have the better covenant. And see, a lot of times we know this stuff. We have knowledge of it, but we don't have the revelation. We don't have the understanding of it. So God, right now, I ask you to begin to unveil this revelation to us. God, that we'd begin to grab a hold of sonship, that we'd begin to grab a hold of what it means to be sons of the living God. Lord, that you would give us the understanding. Lord, that this would not just be knowledge, but God, that it would become true revelation that would awaken in our hearts and our minds and bring transformation to our lives today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And so I want to get right into it. 1 John chapter 2, starting in verse 12 and verse 13, I want to read that. Now, the thing is that God is really just unveiling this to me. So I'm bringing what he's unveiling to me. But saints, I want to encourage you. This is a revelation God wants his children to grab a hold of. And I want to encourage you to get absorbed in this. Take pains to really meditate on this. Get it in your spirit. You see, the Bible says take pains with these things, be absorbed in them, meditate on them. You got to get them in your spirit. So you got to take time to really get this in you. And as you do, God is going to transform us. 1 John chapter 2, verse 12. It says, I write unto you, John was writing unto the people here, and he said, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. He goes on to say, I write unto you, fathers, because you've known him that is from the beginning. And I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. He said, I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. You see, he's talking about three different groups here. He's talking about children, he's talking about fathers, and he's talking about young men, okay? And so he said there's something that each of them need to know. He said little children, so that's babes in Christ, that's the newborn believers. He said when you first come into the faith, he said what you need to know right off the bat is that your sins are forgiven. See, your sins are forgiven. But it says something else here. Your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. For Christ's name's sake. You see, right off the bat, little children, babes in Christ, newborn Christians have to know that their sins are forgiven for Christ's name's sake. You see, if they're forgiven for our name's sake, we might have a little bit of trouble because we're up and down and all over the place. But when he forgave our sins for his son's name's sake, you better know he's not taking that back. Amen. I want you to know you're forgiven. And one of the first things that I remember as a newborn believer was struggling with was I really saved? did God really forgive me? I mean, I think I spent the first 2 years of my walk with the Lord thinking I wasn't forgiven. The devil kept coming to me and saying, you ain't forgiven. See, you ain't changed. And I had to battle that for 2 years. Can you see why John said the Holy Spirit told him to write this down? You have to understand, everywhere in the Word of God is inspired by God himself. He wants newborn believers to know their sins are forgiven. But he goes on. And he said, so I want you to begin to say that over your life. If you struggle with this, you begin to confess it over your life. Thank you, God. Every one of my sins is forgiven for Christ's name's sake. You see, begin to speak it out. The Word of God is alive. It's living. It's powerful. And as you speak it out, it begins to do the work. I want to tell you, when it gets in you, all of a sudden it will come out of you. Remember what Jesus said, what goes in comes out. Put the right thing in, child of God. That word is going to come out of your mouth. And when you begin to confess it over your life, guess what happens? The Word is going to do the work for you. Amen. I'm telling you, the Word will do the work for you. You see, we've been running around slaving, trying to change ourselves. We've been saying, if I could just be more disciplined, boy, I wouldn't behave this way no more. You see, I'd be a different person if I would just be stronger in my faith. You see, things could really happen if I would really stop doing this and start doing that. And we come into the new year and we set up these New Year's resolutions. Make your New Year's resolution this: start to get into the Word of God and then speak it out over your life. Speak it out over your life. Confess it, child. I'm telling you, by the end of the year, you won't even recognize who you are anymore, because the Word of God is going to do the work for you as you put it out there. It is a seed, and every seed goes out and gets planted. It will begin to bear and bring forth fruit hundredfold in your life, child. I'm telling you, you'll be brand new by the end of the year. You're already brand new, but you will walk differently. You'll talk differently. You'll look differently. I'm telling you, you'll be a changed individual. And so he said, I want you to know that you're forgiven. But he goes on and he says, he talks to the fathers, and then he talks to the young men, and he speaks to the children again. And he says this: I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. Children have a father. Children need to know the Father. You see, a lot of times we come into the faith and we know God, but we don't know him as Father. You see, Jesus came to give us the introduction to the Father. See, God wants children. And so he is the Father. And that's what the sonship is all about. You see, many of us know him as everything but Father. We might even speak of him as Father. We pray, Heavenly Father, but we don't really have a revelation of God as Father. And so God wants us to understand he really is our Heavenly Father. Now I want you to, we're going to talk a little bit about Jesus was the Son of God, because as he is Father, so he has children. He has sons, and God wants us to understand this. Turn to Romans 1:4. And so we're going to look a little bit at the Son of God, Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Lord and Savior, our brother. He is so many things to us. And God wants us to understand he was also the Son of God. He was first the Son of God. Romans 1:4 says this. Paul said that he declared, it was declared that Jesus was the Son of God. Jesus was the Son of God with power. That's dunamis power. That is the miraculous, mighty power of God. Jesus was declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. Jesus is the Son of God. Okay, now I want you to look at something. Turn to John 19:7. We know Jesus was the Son of God, but do we really understand the magnitude? Begin to ask God. God, give us the revelation that Jesus was the Son of God. John 19:7. I want us to look at that. It says here in John 19:7, I want you to grab a hold of this. It says, okay, let's look at verse 6. It says, when the chief priest, this is when Jesus is about to be crucified. When the chief priest, therefore, and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, crucify him, crucify him. And Pilate said unto them, take him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. And the Jews answered him, listen to what they said. We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. I want you to grab a hold of this. Jesus was crucified because he was the Son of God. You see, they said he's making himself out to be the Son of God and he deserves to die for it. In fact, it goes on to say that they said he was blaspheming because he made himself out to be the Son of God. Ooh, can you understand something here? He wants us to grab a hold of the fact that we are sons of God too. Okay? We're sons of God. I want you to grab a hold of this. Boy, we're sons of God too. And I want you to know they crucified him because he was the Son of God. Now, we're going to get into this a little deeper. It's going to begin to unfold like that flower, boy. I want you to see this. Acts 9:20. Acts 9:20 is going to show us something here. It says in Acts 9:20, and straightway Paul preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. Now, I want you to know, Jesus was crucified because he made himself out to be the Son of God. Now, he was the Son of God, and they crucified him for it. And then, here we are, the disciples, after all this has taken place, do what? They begin to preach that Jesus is the Son of God. Do you know how dangerous that was? They had just seen Jesus be crucified because of being the Son of God. And now they're going out and they are preaching that Jesus is the Son of God. They are putting their lives on the line for this. You see, do you know Jesus is the Son of God? Do you still preach that Jesus is the Son of God? Because he is. And I'm telling you, the Satan don't mind Christians. Okay, Satan don't mind believers. Satan don't even mind servants. He don't mind priests. He don't mind pastors. He don't mind prophets. He don't mind none of that. What he doesn't like is sons of God. I want you to know it right now.
That's right.
You are a son of God. And he don't want you to know you're a son of God. Because when you know you're a son of God, boy, I'm telling you, he knows that you will overcome the enemy. Look back at that passage that we were looking at in 1 John. 1 John 2, I should have read that, and I didn't. I'm going to read that right now. In 1 John, where is it? It says this. In 1 John, okay, 14. 1 John 2:14 says, and I've written unto you, fathers, because you've known him that's from the beginning. Kind of repeats it again. I've written unto you, young men, because you're strong. Okay? We're talking about sons here. He said, sons are strong, and the word of God abides in you. And you have overcome the wicked one. See, I want you to know something. God wants you to know him as Father. He says little children got to know their father. And then there is a point where they're raised up and they understand now that they're not just children. They're sons of God. And he said, as sons of God, you overcome the wicked one. He said, you know the word of God. The word is strong in you. You're strong because of the word of God. And you will begin to take your rightful place as a son of God in the family of God. And you will overcome the enemy. And he don't want you to know that. You see, the Lord told me, he said, Tammy, he said, my body has, much of them have stayed in a place of immaturity. See, they've never grown up to all that I've called them to be. You see, they've been walking still in babyhood. When I told them they were to be raised up as sons, he said, we've gone out and the church has even raised prophets. We've raised evangelists. We've raised pastors and teachers. But we forgot first and foremost to raise sons. Did you get that? We haven't raised sons. And so we've raised people to do the works of God, not understanding who they were. And so I said, Lord, why are we not seeing the greater things? We see it occasionally here and there. But I'm telling you, do you know demons bow to Jesus because they knew he was the Son of God? I want you to see that. You see, there's a passage that says that the demons even knew Jesus was the Son of God. Remember when they said, have you come here, O Son of God, to torment us before our time? You see, they knew the Son of God. And see, we haven't known that we were sons of God and that demons bow to Jesus and they bow to sons of God in Jesus' name. You see, he said, my children have been everything but sons. And he said, this is why we've not been walking in the greater things, because we didn't know we were sons. We didn't know our rights as sons of God in the family of God. But he said, this is the year of sonship, child. See, begin to ask him, God, teach me about the sonship. God, don't let it pass me by. God, bring me the revelation that I am indeed a son of God. I really am a son of God. Now, I want us to look here. Turn to Psalm chapter 2. Boy, this is one of my favorites. I hate to say anything's my favorite because I love them all. And I say that so many times, Sister Neva. This is my favorite, but they're all so good. Uh-huh. So Psalm chapter 2, starting in verse 6, what we see here is that this is really Acts 13:33 will show you that Psalm 2 was talking about Jesus. And so right here in verse 6, he says, God said, I have set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son. He's talking about Jesus. Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Okay, we're talking about Jesus Christ coming into the earth as the Son of God. He's the only begotten of God. Okay, he says of Jesus, ask of me, and I shall give you the heathen for thine inheritance and the uttermost parts of the earth for your possession. Now, listen to me. Jesus, even the Son of God, Jesus, God in the flesh, had to ask God for the people. Have you asked God for the people? Have you asked him to give you the people for his glory? Have you asked for the heathen, for the inheritance? It belongs to the children of God. The children of God belong to even the children of God. We belong to God. And he said, Jesus already, he already asked for all the people to come unto him. Now let's go get him. Amen. Let's go get him. Now that word son there, thou art my son, that word means this. It means the builder of the family name. Jesus is the builder of the family of God. How do we reproduce? Well, we know. Science teaches us. There has to be reproduction comes forth. There is a seed that goes forth that begins to reproduce. We know that even in the animal kingdom. We know it in the vegetation, the vegetables, the flowers, everything. There's a seed. We know that a baby comes forth from a seed. You see, so God wants us to understand that there is a family we're a part of. We're a part of the family of God, and we are sons of God. Now, I want you to see this. John 1:12 says this. It says, but as many, now I'll back up to 11 because it's good, but it said, Jesus came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave power to become what? The sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of men, but of God. Did you see? He gave us power to become sons of God. Okay? Now, we need to get that into our spirit. I want you to see. Actually, turn to John 3:1. We'll read this, and we'll see it a little clearer. John 3:1. I'm sorry, 1 John 3:1. 1 John 3:1 says it this way. It says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knows us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now, I want you to understand this. The Lord gave me a revelation in this. I've always quoted this passage. I say it all the time. Oh, what great love has been lavished upon us. And I say that we should be called children of God. I say, sometimes I even say, oh, what great love has been lavished upon us that we should be called sons and daughters of the living God. You see, I say it like this all the time, and the Lord stopped me in my tracks, and he said, Tammy, that's not what my word said. I said, okay. He said, why are you changing it? I said, well, I just know that when you're saying sons, you also mean daughters because, you know, I'm a daughter. He said, that's not what I said, Tammy. I said, you are sons of God. You see, that don't make no sense to the flesh, Monica. The flesh can't grab it because this is spiritual. He said, Tammy, you're a son of God in the family of God. He said, I've called you sons of God for a reason. He said, see, you change it when you say children. He said, there are times that I refer to you as children, and that's good. But he said, right here, I said, behold, what manner of love has been lavished upon you that you should be called a son of God. It's an honor to be a son of God. See, Jesus is the son of God. You see, and so we take away from it when we start saying we're sons and daughters of God. We are children of God. But when we say we are sons of God, we are aligning ourselves as brethren with Christ. You see, we're not just daughters. We're not just children. We are sons of God, just like the Son of God. It's taking away from it when we don't say that we are sons of God. See, Jesus was the Son of deity, and we are sons of deity too. You see, they crucified him because he was the Son of God. Do you know him as Son of God? And do you acknowledge that you are also a son of God? You see, like I said earlier, Satan doesn't mind servants, but he doesn't want you to know that you're sons. You see, he'll leave servants alone, but he persecutes sons. I want you to know there is power in sonship. There's power in sonship. Boy, I've been walking around my house saying, I am a son of God. I am a son of God. I'm telling you, I don't know how many times I was walking around saying that, but the power of the Spirit hit me. At some point when I begin to declare it over my life, I'm telling you, the power of God hit me. I almost went down right in my own house. It was so strong. The Lord said, Tammy, keep speaking it, keep speaking it, keep speaking it until you get it. Child, speak it over your life. I am a son of God. I am a son of God. I am a son of God. You see, the enemy don't want you to know that you have sonship in the family of God. You see, I can't even get into the fullness of this. This is just breaking open. I'm telling you, this is like a seed that's breaking open. You see, I want you to know this, that Jesus is the head. Can we get this? Jesus is the head. Did it not say that? It said Jesus is the head. What did it say about us? That we're the body. Okay, Jesus is the head and we are the body. See, Jesus has already been seated in the heavenly places. He said he's already in the heavens. And where is his body? It's in the earth still doing his work. You see, what are we doing? The manifestation of the sons is coming forth. I want you to look at this at Romans 8. Romans 8, it says it. It says that there's a manifestation that's taking place, saints of God. I want you to grab a hold of this. Ooh-wee, God, give us the revelation. He said, let me find it right here. Give me a second. I should have wrote it down. Okay, it says in verse 19. For the earnest expectation of the creature is waiting for what? What is creation waiting for? The manifestation of the sons of God. You see, there was something that needs to manifest. The sons of God have got to come forth. He said, for the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain together until now, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to it, the redemption of our body. Now, I want you to understand something. creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. And yes, there will be a fullness of that when we are resurrected from this earth. But I'm telling you, there is a manifestation that is starting to come forth in the earth right now. And though it is not fully revealed until we are raised again, God is saying that he is trying to raise his children up as sons, that the children of God need to walk as sons in the earth. You see, Jesus is already the head, but the body needs to come forth. You see, the body is being birthed right now into the earth. The body of Christ is being birthed right now as sons in the earth. We are the sons of God still walking in the earth. It is no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. He is the Son of God still in the earth, walking in you and I. I know this is almost overwhelming sometimes, and it almost can go right over your head, okay? I'm still grabbing a hold of it. But what I want you to do is really meditate on it. He said, get absorbed in these things. He said, start speaking it over your life. What did I tell you? The word is going to do the work for you. I want you to start confessing it over your life, and it's going to begin to come forth. God will begin to unveil it to you. Say, God, I need to understand this. God, I want to grab a hold of it. Now, I want you to look at Galatians 4, 6, 7, and then we'll stop and take some time for prayer. And I kind of alluded to this already, but in Galatians 4, 6, and 7, it says this, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore you are no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. You are an heir. You are a son. And he wants you to understand it. You see, so much of my life, saints, I lived as a servant when I was really a son. You see, you and I are meant to be sons that serve. But I was serving, feeling like an outcast, someone who God could at the drop of a hat get rid of. You see, I didn't understand I was a son. And God doesn't cast away his sons. I want you to understand he loves you and you are an heir. With Christ, you're not just an heir, you're an heir with Christ, the Bible says. I'm telling you, there is a place that we have not gone that God wants us to go. It's time. He said, I really believe this. I believe Jesus is waiting. I believe God is waiting on the body of Christ, the sons of God, to rise up and begin to take their rightful place in the family of God. I really believe it. I believe there's a maturity he's waiting on before he's going to return. So I want you to understand this, and we're going to see it a little more as we get back into it in a minute, but let's pray.
I want to read the footnotes.
Yes, please.
To what you just read in Galatians 4.